Welcome to Sister Share, where six sisters living around the world come together each week to talk about motherhood, health, cooking, parenting, and so much more. Thanks for joining us today.
Hello, welcome to Sister Share. We're so happy you joined us today. Here on the call we have...
Hi, I'm Lorraine from Idaho.
I'm Nettie from Okinawa.
My name is Mamie, and I'm from Wellsville, Utah.
And sadly, we're missing today Rebecca, Heidi, and Katie. Of all of us, they have the most children at home right now and the youngest children. So they're in the exhausting trenches of motherhood, and we're sad to miss them today, but we know they're doing a great work in their homes. Our topic today is finding your identity as a mother. And this actually comes from one of our listeners who said, how can I feel good about myself and who I am as an individual when all I do every day is take care of little kids and teenagers, and I often don't even feel that much respect for me in my home? So this is a topic and a question I think a lot of mothers have. Who wants to get us started with any thoughts or comments?
I'll get us started. I think it's important to remember in the Bible and the scriptures that it talks about, he who loses his life for my sake shall find it. On the spectrum of making sure that we have our identity, there's the feeling like you're walked all over, like you're not able to be who you know you should be. On the other side, we don't want to focus so much on who we are and who we want to be that we don't serve our families or give to people around us throughout our lives. So it's coming to this happy medium that we're trying to come to tonight as we discuss together. How do we, I don't have all the answers. In fact, some days I feel like I don't have any time for me. From sunup to sundown, I'm busy serving other people, making meals, cleaning. Often the conversations are few and far between because I have kids that are off and away at different activities. So how do I feel like, how do I know that I am contributing to my family, who I am and who I was meant to be? I don't have all the answers.
And I don't think I do either. I do remember very specifically when we had young toddlers getting frustrated with this question and thinking, why did God give women brains if all we do is change diapers and make meals? Like, I'm not using who I am. And I don't think I can do this forever. If all we're doing is raising kids forever, I can't, I'm not born for this. This is not natural to me. But I also have a testimony of the plan of salvation and that motherhood is eternal. And at the moment, that was something I couldn't understand. But I also recognized that if that was what God wanted for me and that was my eternal destiny, I needed to learn to find joy where I was at. And so I went on a very specific hunt for finding joy in motherhood. And I also recognize now at a different stage in my life that there are stages. We won't always be changing diapers. But now I'm using my brain a lot. I'm trying to deal with married kids and grandkids and teenagers and college kids. And it's very different, and motherhood evolves.
I think that's a good thing to remember, Ray, that we're going through ages and stages. Recently, both you and I went back to work full time after years of dealing with toddlers and little kids. And one of the most amazing things in my life right now is that I'm having a career after I raised my kids, and that has pros and cons to it too, but it has felt really good, and I'm so surprised that I have time for this. Like, it's almost like a second wind in my life. So one thing to keep in mind is you're not always going to be at home trying to find your identity. Life is generally long and beautiful and wonderful with lots of opportunities. So I think maybe tip number one today is know that this isn't going to last forever.
I also would say that even don't wait for that time to find your identity. Yes, there are diapers and dishes from sunup to sundown at certain times, especially
in the first years of motherhood, but we can find or make time on a daily basis in however fills our bucket the most. For example, Nettie, I remember you telling me once to just journal for 6 sentences a day, because journaling in and of itself can feel overwhelming. How do I find time to record when there's so much going on? And that is doable. When I thought through, oh, I can just write 6 sentences, that's not hard to do at all, then it helped me capture that time and utilize it on a daily basis. So I felt like I had something that I wanted in my life that was part of me or helping to record what was happening and who I was. So finding a just a time. I remember when our own mama had her children, she would take time right after she had a baby to take a class. So even though she had a newborn baby in the house and she could have stayed inside day in and day out, she took time to take one class to get out of the house once a week, like toll painting or knitting, or I don't remember all the different classes she took, calligraphy, something that she could get out of the house, and she knew she was committed to something that she was going to be a part of. So little things like that can go a long way. Even if it's not a lot of time, do something little for yourself.
I think another tip, I love the journaling and I love the do something for yourself. Another tip is to make it a priority every day to get ready. That's so hard to do when we know we're going to be home all day. But one of the first things I noticed after I started working was how excited I was to get ready every day. And I thought, have I not gotten ready for all these years? Well, you do, and I had. But just make sure you take that time. Do your hair, get ready, get dressed. That in a small way is going to help out with your identity.
I like that. I also think having goals as a mother with our children is important. In the toddler years, it was so easy to get overwhelmed in the dishes and the diapers and the feeding. But I found that I could find joy in the moment when I had a goal to sit down and read a book with my children, or to sit down for 10 minutes and play blocks with them, where I could focus on being a mother and less maybe the monotony or the jobs of motherhood, but being a contributing person to my children's lives.
That's beautiful, Ray. I really like that. Thanks for sharing. I had another thought and now it's gone again.
I'll step in then while you remember, Mamie. One thing I did notice, and this goes along with the take a class, which is what Mama always did after she had a baby, was as long as I had something outside of the home that was mine, it always helped me a little bit. So if for a while when my kids were tiny, I was a Bright Music distributor, and that just got me out of the house a couple times a week. And it was something I could do with little kids, you know, one night a week. My husband could babysit and I could get out. And I just remembered that really helped me to get out and be someone else for a little bit, not in a bad way, because of course being a mother was my highest priority, but it just, mentally, it was good for me. And then I remember one of the lowest times I had mentally was after my twins were born and we'd moved to Wyoming and we were living miles away from civilization, actually, is what it felt like. And one day just feeling like I would only spend the rest of my days taking care of twins and feeding them and changing them, I had the very clear, distinct impression come to my mind that I should start a magazine for Wyoming women. And that was the craziest idea I ever had, but I knew it was inspiration, and so I followed it. And so that helped me as well. Back to the point, it's always helpful to do something outside of the home where you can get out once or twice a week and just be yourself and find that identity and still maintain your motherhood and be true to your children.
That's great, Nan. I remembered my thought. I think it's worth sitting down and making a list of who you want to be, who you feel like you are or want to be, what your interests are, what your talents are, and then just be prayerful and thoughtful as you go about your days as to how you can weave that into your family. If you like flowers, plant a flower garden. If you like art, do art with your kids once a week. If you like
reading, then create a library in your home or set aside a time to read with your children. Just identify what you love and then seeing how it's fitting into your family can then give you, it helps me to feel fulfilled and know that part of me is being woven into the lives of my family members.
Great idea. Everybody make a list.
I like that too. And that we can bring our own hobbies and our own joys into our family and make that a part of who they are too. As Nan mentioned, that we both have a career now, and I love my career. I love learning and I love teaching, and it's easy to be caught up sometimes in that. So I have put my husband on board with me so that when I get too caught up in what happened for the day or in taking another class or in improving this or that, that he's my sounding board so that I don't lose priority, because my family, my kids, that is my priority. But it's easy to lose that in chasing after something that's fun for me. And I need to remember that really the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world, and who they become is more of a legacy than I could ever leave at work. So it helps to have my husband involved in helping me become who I am, but also stay grounded.
I think it's also important to remember that trying to find our identity isn't just tied to motherhood, even though it feels that way right now. I think any woman anywhere or any person anywhere can often struggle with knowing who they are and feeling fulfilled and recognized. For example, my husband has a very busy job and a high-profile church calling, and sometimes totally unrelated to motherhood, I'll feel like, who am I? Am I someone besides just his wife in all these situations? Does anyone recognize me for what my talents are and what I can offer? So this conversation is just reminding me that we might always have this struggle a little bit, even when we're not just at home with younger children.
I also am coming back to our core values, who we really are. And first and foremost, we're children of God, and we are disciples of Jesus Christ. So number one, as children of God, one of the things that we do is create. So we've talked about this in other episodes, but taking time to create a beautiful table centerpiece or a beautiful room in your house. Just find something that we can create each day. And along the way, realize that that creation also involves creating these children that we bring into the world, but also then helping to create who they become by setting routines and following through. All of that is a process of creation that helps us to become like Heavenly Father, and is very beautiful when you think about it in the right way. So you can think about it in terms of changing diapers and folding laundry, or you can also think about it in terms of, I am helping to create beautiful souls. And then it gives meaning to the mundane that we're doing from day to day. The second one is a disciple of Jesus Christ, and we can do that in every single effort that we put forth. I'm getting up today because I love the Savior. I'm serving my family by making a meal, but in reality, I'm serving God. I'm serving my Savior. So just remembering that that is at the core of everything that we do can bring purpose and identity.
I like that, Maine. Thank you. And you also mentioned setting goals for who we are and who we want to become, but also for what kind of a family we want and what we want our children to become. I think sometimes as mothers, we forget that we're the expert for our kids. We send them off to school. We send them off to soccer. We send them off to gymnastics. We send them off to all these experts that we want to teach them and train them. And sometimes we forget we're the expert too. We're their mother. We're teaching them how to work, how to take care of themselves, how to keep house, how to keep their room clean. And we can also educate and teach them our hobbies. We're the expert. We're their mother.
I really
Some days I don't feel like an expert.
But I love your ideas, Ray.
That's the whole point, right?
None of us do.
Right.
I don't know who we are.
I also agree with everything that was said and just have to come back to the Creator. Some of the most fulfilling times I've had as a mother when I've been looking for my identity is when I can look around the home and see something I created. I spent a lot of time, but I finished that quilt. I spent a lot of time, but I got that room painted. I spent a lot of time, but that table looks beautiful and I have a lovely dinner. So I think creating, like you said, Mamie, is very key to helping us find our identity and feeling fulfilled.
Going along with that, I get caught in the trap often of scheduling. Like I look at my schedule for the week and I put in all the piano lessons and I put in all of the concerts and I put in all of the ministering, visiting, teaching, you know, everything that goes onto my schedule, going to the temple, going on a date. And if there are lapses, like I'll get home from something and have about 15 minutes before I go off to the next thing. I have a kitchen that needs to be cleaned up, but I don't know how to get this across. But sometimes I don't think of that as being worthy of putting my attention into because it's not on the calendar, if that makes sense. So just tonight, I was done with all of the things on the schedule. I was waiting for the group to get home from doing temple baptisms, and I thought, I have 10 minutes. I can make this kitchen nice and clean so that when they walk in the door, it's beautiful and they can feel the spirit that can carry over from the temple. But I feel like I get caught up in, oh, what's on the schedule? What do I need to do? And I forget about just take time to pick up, just take time to clean something. And that's just as much of worth as something that's on the calendar. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it made a difference for me tonight when I was thinking about it.
It's great, Mamie. Thank you for sharing. I think that one of the major factors, we could say the elephant in the room on this topic, is social media. And how has social media changed motherhood and changed our perspective? Especially because all day long, if we want, we can see what other people are doing. And more often than not, that makes us question our identity and what we're accomplishing. And so I would have to say that in times when I struggle with my identity as a mother, it's been helpful for me to turn off social media and just focus on my family again and focus on what I have done and what is happening in my home and kind of come out of that digital world to reality and what's right in front of me.
I like that. I think sometimes getting on social media is like looking in everybody else's windows when we could spend that hour handling our own little circle of life, our own kingdom, our own bubble. And that's where we're needed most, is our own bubble.
And we don't want to question us. We don't want to compare us to other people or question our worth compared to another mother that might seem like she has it all together.
I love thinking of life as an individual sport or an individual race. We don't have to worry about where everybody else is in the race. And that's often where we lose our identity. We think, oh, so-and-so is so good at XYZ, and I'm still struggling with that. And then we get down on ourselves instead of thinking realistically and truthfully about the talents that we have that we contribute to our family, and also about areas that we want to change. Just in this past week, I noticed that I have gotten into the habit of turning to my phone when I don't have something that's pressing right then. I'll just pick it up and check it, and there's no need to do that. So I've noticed something in myself that I want to change. I think that comes because my previous calling was as a Relief Society president. I needed to have my phone with me all the time because there were emergencies that popped up on a daily basis, people that needed to talk to me. But in my state of life right now, I do still have children that call me, but I don't have to pick up the phone unless it's ringing or buzzing. And it's a habit that I want to get out of. So just being realistic with ourselves about things that we want to change, not down about it, but in a positive way. Let's make a plan. Let's let's move forward. This is the identity I want to have. Another beautiful thought that I was taught years ago that has really made a difference for me is to look a step ahead in life and imagine what you want to be like. So imagine what kind of a grandma you want to be like, or imagine what kind of a mother of teenagers you want to be like, or imagine what you want to be like with toddlers if you're newlywed. So just look forward a few years in your life and imagine. Just take time to even close your eyes at night as you're falling asleep and imagine who you want to be. And right as you're falling asleep is the perfect time to do it, because then it's in your brain throughout the night. Anyways, it's just a good time to do it. Anyways, just think about who you want to be, and then how are you going to get there? And what do you want to be like? What are you going to say? What are you going to do to create that kind of a person for yourself? I love doing that.
What a powerful tool. We are so excited that Heidi just joined us. Welcome, Heidi.
Thanks.
I'm just going to give you a quick recap. We're talking about maintaining our identity as mothers when we're busy helping other people all day long. And we've mentioned a few things, for example, journaling, taking a class outside of the home, setting goals, making a list of things that we want to learn or develop, creating every day, remembering we're a disciple of Jesus Christ, limiting social media, and Mamie just mentioned imagining at night what you want to be. Anything you want to add right off the bat as an expert mother who has a house full of littles at home all day?
No. But I love just getting out. I just go for a walk sometimes just to remember that there's a world outside of my home. And I mean, it's not practical to go on vacations a lot without your kids, but that goes a long way too, to reminding me that I'm my own person and that I have my own likes and my own hobbies. And it kind of just reminds me that I'm a person.
I love that. Like a retreat, or go somewhere where with your husband or something like that.
Yeah. Just where I can do what I want to do. And it reminds me that I'm my own person.
Here's another question.
Even if it's just on the calendar, like something to look forward to. For example, we're having our sister's retreat beginning of November. That's still a month and a half away, but it's something you can look forward to and identify with.
Heidi, just tell us, have you felt this as a young mom about trying to find your identity, or sometimes feeling a little bit lost in the crowd?
Yeah, I agree. One thing we've started to do that I started doing for my kids, but I realized it's good for me too. We've started having sports nights. We used to have our kids all in soccer, and it was just so overwhelming. We spent our entire life at soccer practice and on the soccer fields on Saturday. So I decided this year we weren't going to put anyone in soccer, but I didn't want my kids to lose what they had gained. So we started doing a sports night. We try and do it every week, but it doesn't always happen. But we just go to the field and we take our Frisbees and our soccer balls and our footballs, and we just play together as a family. And I started it for my kids, but I love just getting out and playing with my kids. They never see me get out on the field and play. And it's reminded me that I love it. And my kids are shocked that I can run and catch a Frisbee. And it's just like, let them see another side of me. And so really it's something that we've started that I just love. It just reminds me that I'm a different person, and I can run, and I can catch a Frisbee, and I can catch a football. And I'm not just always doing dishes and making meals. So it's helped my kids see me in a different light, and it's helped me feel like a different person once in a while when we can get out and do something different.
So you mentioned getting out and going on a walk, but also get out with your kids. I love that. Then they can see you for who you were before you were, you know, sometimes as a pregnant mom or a nursing mom, we don't always get out and we're not quite as active. That's a great idea, Heidi.
Yeah, or even showing them pictures of things that I used to do. I don't know. It doesn't let me do them, but it kind of puts me in a different light to my kids.
Yeah.
That I'm a person with my own likes and dislikes and talents.
I love it. Also, we're very happy that Becca just joined. Welcome, Becca.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So we started with three, now we have five. This is great.
Becca, we've been talking about our identity, how to maintain our identity in the midst of motherhood, how to feel like we're a real person and have our own unique talents and traits and can be ourselves, even though our lives are filled with service to our family.
That sounds like a great topic. One that I am sure I need to have some ideas about, and I don't know if I have any ideas. But I'm excited for all of yours. I'm sad I'm just hopping on now.
I'll talk about one of your ideas, Becca. One thing I think that you are amazing at is music in your home. You've always loved music, and now I watch you doing duets with your kids, and they sing, and it's so fun to watch what you guys do as a family with music. I think that's really cool.
Thanks, Ray. That's nice to hear. It is true. We really do love music, and that's so interesting, just because when I realized the topic was motherhood identity, I don't even know how to find identity in motherhood. But you're right, because music is so much a part of me, and I am so glad that we can do it in our home. And I see our girls. So I remember being the piano player, you know, I mean, not the only piano player for sure in our home, but you know, that was my outlet growing up. If I had any emotion, I just needed to be on the piano, and we had the piano going all the time, I feel like, at home. And now when our girls get home, they're on the piano all the time. And I am so glad for that. I'm so glad for that. And when they do things together, and when, you know, when we can join in and, you know, sing or, you know, play something. Anyway, yeah, that is such an outlet for me.
You know, as Becca and Heidi have been talking, another principle has occurred to me, and that is that we can often see other people's identities a lot easier than we can see our own identity. For example, we all knew that Becca's so musically talented, and her whole family's been blessed by that. Her children are musically talented, et cetera. And Heidi's very outdoorsy. She just took her kids on a backpacking trip. And I would never have thought to do that with my kids. And it gave me the inspiration to think of other creative things I can do with my kids. But if we're struggling ourselves to feel identity, maybe ask somebody outside of the family. Ask a good friend, What do you see in me? What am I contributing to my family? And it can be easier for them to look in and say, well, this is what you do really well. And that can be encouraging.
Good point, Mamie. It also brought up another tip that I think could help with motherhood identity, and that is take the opportunities when they come. If someone asks you to do something or invites you to be involved, I know sometimes it's hard to say yes because we are busy and we have our families and our homes. But I've found that whenever I've taken that, it's kind of a little blessing from heaven, and it's opened up more doors and helped me feel fulfilled. I remember one of the first opportunities I had was when I was a young mom in Las Vegas, and I got an invitation from a magazine to write a story for them, but I would have to fly for the weekend to California. And at first I thought, well, there's no way. Why would I fly away and leave my kids here? And I remember the editor even asked me for my email, to email me the details. And I didn't even have my own email. Like, I only had my husband's email. And not that that's a good or bad thing. It was just a sign of the times then. But after talking to my good friend and my husband, they said, well, why would you say no? This is so great. And so I was able to make all the arrangements to be gone for 2.5 days and fly down and do it. And it ended up opening other doors for me of writing I could do from my home, which was a blessing. But I often think back on that. I almost said no. I almost said no because it wasn't quite in my mindset of what a mom would be doing to support her family. And I certainly didn't want to disadvantage my kids. But I think when the Lord puts opportunities in our way, it's maybe a blessing. And a gift to us that we can do things and can develop in other ways that end up blessing our families. So I would say a lesson I've learned over the years is take those opportunities when they come. And usually the Lord will help them to work out and everyone will be better for it.
And everyone will be better for it, meaning that when we come home from something like that, I'm a better mom. If I've had a couple of days at a mom's retreat, then I come home just ready to be a great mom. And my kids love me more and appreciate me more, too. So I think that's good. Also, other principle I wanted to quick bring up that I've been thinking about is learning. Learning and education can contribute to our identity so much. If I feel like I am learning something just a little bit every day, then I am so much happier and I feel like I'm progressing. Identity is tied in progression. If we feel like we're progressing as a person, then we feel like we have an identity. So whether that, for me, I don't have time to sit down and read books, but I can listen to books while I'm folding laundry. So I like to just choose a book that I'm listening to at the time. And then I get new ideas. I learn something. Or even just sitting down with my children and reading books with them. If that's all I can get to that day, then I have learned something. Or I just try and point out to myself what I am learning through what I'm doing.
Mame, I just want to go back to the point you made about using our time. I had a long discussion with one of my daughters this week about how there are no more hobbies in the world. Strangely enough, of course there are hobbies, but they're diminishing, and it's because people spend so much time on social media. Like you mentioned, if you have 10 minutes, you're probably going to pop open your phone and see what someone's posted or check your messages. Whereas in past times, we didn't have that option to constantly be connecting with other people, so we had a little more time to develop hobbies. Anyway, my daughter's next door neighbor is a very, very old woman, and she was talking about how one of her hobbies through her life has been crocheting. And she even said that when she was a young mom, every day she would wear an apron with a pocket in it. And in her pocket, she had her ball of yarn and her crochet hook. And as she walked from room to room to fold the laundry or make a meal or take care of kids, she found that she could get a few stitches in here or there. So she was always crocheting through the day and ended up making a lot of beautiful things on a very little amount of time. And that just has struck me this week. I've thought about it a lot. What if I had a ball of yarn in my pocket and a crochet hook? What could I get done? Instead of pulling out my phone, I'm pulling out my little afghan or something. And it's made me want to use those pockets or windows of time, like you said, and make sure that I'm still developing hobbies and I'm not just scrolling all the time.
That's kind of fun to think about too, Ned. So it just brought to mind this video, just a short snippet one time that I saw of this lady, and she said, I sat down, it was about goals at the beginning of the year. She said, I sat down and I wrote down some goals, you know, about things I wanted to learn how to do, like how to play the nose whistle or how to juggle or, you know, just these random things that, and she said, I decided I was gonna spend 10 minutes a day. And she said, that wasn't hard to do after I logged out of Facebook and all, you know, probably all her social media stuff. Anyway, she said she logged out of all of it on her phone, so that she had to log in if she wanted, you know, to look at her Facebook feed or, you know, whatever. And she said, I just decided I was going to spend 10 minutes a day on these, you know, these little things. And then she showed what she could had learned to do. You know, she's learned how to juggle. She's learned how to play the nose whistle or anyway. And we actually just tonight, we watched Chitty Chitty Bang Bang with the kids. And it's so fun. I don't know if you know that number where they do, you know, the old bamboo. You know, and they dance around and they've got their bamboos and they jump over the bamboo and like they do all these tricks. And I was thinking, wouldn't that be so fun? Like if we learned to do that number, like, isn't that cool? Like nobody, I mean, maybe there's people that could do it these days, but what a cool thing for somebody to learn, you know, like how to do this bamboo thing, like just these cool things that people, you know, there's so much. Like you said, there's so much technology that kind of takes over. And we think, goodness, look what we really could learn to do. Look what, anyway,
look what talents people can have and have had through all generations of time because they didn't have the crutches that we have on technology. Anyway, so just some thoughts.
Becca, I'm definitely going to be there when y'all perform the old bamboo song.
We'll be there.
Nettie, I want to bring up one other thing that you mentioned right at the beginning, and I think actually could be a whole nother podcast. So maybe we don't want to address it tonight, but you mentioned in there identity of a mother, especially when you feel like you don't have the respect in your home that you would like. So if you feel like you're trying to be who you are, but you're met with opposition, that might be something for a whole other podcast, but totally worth talking about. How do you gain respect? How do you make sure that you are treated of worth in your home by your children and by your spouse?
I would love to just do that for a minute now. I think we can look at it for a podcast, but I think that could be an issue that a lot of moms face.
So what do we do? I really feel like Ray has the answers for this one.
That's why we're all waiting for Ray to speak.
I know, waiting for me. And I was just going to say, I don't know that any of us have this issue. We all have these great husbands who have helped us gain respect in our home and treated us well in front of our children. So I don't know that I have any answers, but I for sure think that that would be a family council topic or a spouse discussion when you're in a good place with your spouse to talk about that and how it's kind of a generational thing. I feel like when people haven't been taught respect in the home they came from, they haven't learned how to give respect. And some women, especially stay-at-home moms, maybe don't have that respect from a husband who is out working and they're just staying home. I will tell you, one thing, though, is that it has incredibly helped in our marriage to have my husband stay home with the kids once in a while. When he babysits, when he handles kids, suddenly he's so impressed by what's going on at home that he doesn't know about and suddenly realizes it's all part of handling kids.
I think those are good thoughts, Ray. I also think it's safe to say that the level of respect in the home from the children to the parents can be decided by the parents. How much are you willing to take from your children? Are you willing to let them not follow what you've asked them to do? Are you willing to let them talk back to you? The husband can lead this. The wife, to a point, can lead it. It's certainly much easier if the husband takes the lead and says, I'm sorry, we don't talk to mama that way, or you heard what your mom said, we are going to do this, or something like that. I think this is a standard that would ideally be set at the beginning of having children come into the home, how children are allowed to treat their mom, and definitely a standard that should be maintained by the husband, ideally.
I agree with that, and it reminds me of what Mama would teach about never ask a child to do something he cannot do. Never ask a child to do something you don't see to it that he does. And another way to phrase that is the actions speak louder than words. So rather than saying over and over, please come sit up to the table, you ask them once, it's time to sit up at the table. And then if they don't, you don't need to get mad or upset. You just pick them up and put them at the table. That's the action. You helped them to follow through on that. So there, I do think that we could go into details on that and maybe flesh that out in another podcast, but just those two principles, or maybe just one, the actions speak louder than words, and make sure that if you ask a child to do something, you follow through in a kind way, but make sure that you see that it's done.
Don't be afraid of natural consequences.
And I think one of my thoughts, kind of going with Mames, is you earn respect. There are times that I know both Kevin and I have not earned respect because we've flown off the handle about things. And your kids, we see in our kids, their respect for us goes down. And so when they can see us, following through, but like firmly and kindly, but not losing our cool over situations, that boosts us on their respect scale. I really feel like that. And so I really think, our experience is that we have to earn their respect, and that parenthood is all about how we handle ourselves, because our kids are never going to have the example they need if we are the ones falling apart. So anyway, and that's, that's an ongoing lesson for us, but I really think it's true.
And going along with what Ray said about conversations with the spouse, it can go a long way. I'm recalling one that I had just a few years back where I was just tired of always being the one to ask kids to do chores and have to follow through on it. And as a mother, you're day in and day out asking people to do things. And on Saturday, James is home. And so I just said to him, I don't want to be the one to be asking kids to do chores. Would you please just take Saturday? These are the things that need to be done. This is who does them. Can you follow through on that so that I don't have to always be the one? And he was very willing to step in and do it. And it, just having another parent be the one to say it went a long way. So having those conversations with your spouse about, this is the struggle I'm having with so-and-so or with all of them. Can you help me by doing this?
Good point. That will definitely help with identity, and that's probably where we often lose our identity if we feel like we're not being treated well by our children, who we're literally giving everything up for. Any other thoughts before we end this sister share?
Well, Kevin and I were just having a conversation about this, about the media that we have in our home. I just really think that has such... That is just so much influence in today's world for kids. So anyway, that's really all I have to say. I really think we just were thinking we might revamp some things about media in our family, because things really do teach kids how to talk, how to speak to each other, how to interact. It's a lot with music. Videos, all kinds of things that they're being fed these days. And what are we doing in our home to help them make good choices for that? Because that really influences the kind of respect that we're going to have in our home and that they'll be taught in their lives.
That could be a whole sister share too.
Well, I think we've gotten a lot of ideas for sister shares.
I love that, Becca. And no, I don't have a recap, but I loved your recap, Nin, that we did about halfway when Heidi came in. Heidi and Becca joined. So,
and I can,
thank you.
And I can add the last few that we've done since then. Get out, go on a retreat, be outside, go on walks, be creative, take time to continue to learn, use music, take opportunities as they come. And have a pattern of respect in your home from the children and the husband to the wife, as much as you can influence that.
Sounds good. Hey, we solved the world's problems today. Thank you all. I feel a lot better.
Glad you do, too.
Love you all.
Love you all. See you. Love fun you. To see you. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for tuning into Sister Share. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you again next week.